everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Reap the Spoils. I'm Mark Sullivan.
I'm Delilah Lugo.
And I'm Jason Kwasnicki.
And this is a very special episode because it's somewhat unplanned. We didn't have this on the docket until about a week and a half ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just jumped up on us like a pregnancy, you know?
Yeah, sure.
An emotional pregnancy.
Jason, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Resident Evil 4, colon, remake, colon, separate ways.
Yeah, got the double colon there. Very nice. Yes, we're talking about the new DLC that came out for Resident Evil 4, the remake that released earlier this year, that year being 2023. Reap the Spoils is a semi-monthly spoiler cast where we will play a game, talk about it here in this show, and spoil the hell out of it here in the show. So if you haven't played the game or the thing that we're talking about, I highly suggest you pause the episode and go play or experience that thing for yourself, and then come back and then listen to us discuss it.
And hell, why don't you listen to us discuss the original before you listen to us discuss the DLC?
Yeah, I was getting there, Jason. I was getting to that point. Yeah, if you haven't listened to our Resident Evil 4 episode that we released earlier this year, I highly suggest you go listen to that before you listen to this one, because we might spoil a few things that happened in that game. Or the original Resident Evil 4. You know, if you haven't played the original Resident Evil 4 that came out in 2005, first of all, shame on you. And second of all, go fix that. Go play that game. Like, please, go play that game. It's one of Jason and I's favorite games of all time. Just go play it. There's no discussion to be had. But if you have played it, and you've played the remake, and you've played Separate Ways, stay tuned. We're about to talk about it. Anything else you guys want to add before I jump into the history lesson for Separate Ways?
Do it.
Oh, Delilah's all business today. She's like, yeah. Do it now!
I like the intensity.
All right. Brief history lesson of Separate Ways. Resident Evil 4, the original video game, released on the Nintendo GameCube in January 2005, and it included a bonus mode. That bonus mode was called Assignment Ada, not Separate Ways. It was called Assignment Ada. It was a brief little, maybe takes like an hour to finish, brief little mode where you play as Ada on the island toward the end of Resident Evil 4, collecting Plaga samples. It was non-canon, or it is non-canon. It's just a fun little bonus. And then when the game, that's actually the end of it, because the game never released on anything. Remember, it was supposed to be exclusive to the GameCube, right?
Yeah, he would chop his own head off with a chainsaw.
Now, Resident Evil 4, one of the most ported games in history, came to the PlayStation 2 in October 2005, just 9 months later.
What if he actually didn't, and the version of him we see nowadays is an automaton?
What, Shinji Mikami is just a robot? Hey, you know what? That robot, that robot still, yeah, he still cranked out some bangers after that, so you can't complain too much. Shinji Mikami famously, for context, Shinji Mikami famously said that he would chop his own head off with a chainsaw, something along those lines, if Resident Evil 4 ever came to any other systems, and then it was ported to the PlayStation 2 less than a year later. And when it came to the PlayStation 2 in October 2005, it included a new bonus mode. It still had Assignment Ada, but it had a new bonus mode called Separate Ways, which was a bonus campaign where you play as Ada Wong and you see her perspective on several events that happened throughout Resident Evil 4, and you kind of get some additional context for some events that happened in that game, which was pretty cool. At the time, it was really, really novel to get something like that. Anyway, fast forward to 2023, the Resident Evil 4 remake came out in March 2023, and we just got this DLC announcement for Separate Ways on September 14th, which was like less than 2 weeks ago. And then the DLC came out on September 21st, and we've all played it, and we're going to talk about it.
Yes.
So, This is your final spoiler warning. If you have not played Resident Evil 4, the original, if you have not played Resident Evil 4, the remake, or if you have not played Separate Ways, the brand new DLC chapter for Resident Evil 4 remake, pause this episode, go play all of those things, and then come back and listen to this. Are we ready to talk about this DLC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm honestly excited because I'm somewhat confused on some things. I'm hoping you guys can answer.
Okay.
Otherwise, they just fucked up.
They fucked up. Wait. Oh, okay. Let's go into that. What did they fuck up, Jason?
So when did Ada get infected with the Plagas?
Oh yeah. So that was a little strange. So, and this is kind of something that I like compared to the original Separate Ways, because the original Separate Ways on the original game kind of was just, these events that everyone knows about, let's just show them from Ada's perspective, but she doesn't have a story. It's not really a story for Ada. It's just where Ada was at certain points in the story. And this iteration actually gives her a bit of a story and a bit of an arc to follow toward the... I know, we'll get into it. Jason just made a face. We'll get into it a little bit. It kind of contextualizes something toward the end of the game a little bit, but Ada got infected. It wasn't like a typical Plaga infection, right? It was tied to, his name was Pisanta, because... when he like...
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
All I was going to say was, presumably, it starts with her being infected because the first fight, she's doing the hallucinations.
Well, it's like, when...
Presumably, it would have happened off screen.
No, it was when the other servant of Salazar, his name is Pisanta, I believe. He those Plaga needles at her, and one of them grazed her arm. That was when she got infected. Which
very clear
is
in your defense,
huh?
It wasn't very clear.
I know it wasn't. Oh, yeah. I know it wasn't clear. Trust me, I know it wasn't clear. But it was after that moment that she started having the hallucinations.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jason. You seem like you have more to say.
I'm just gonna take your word for that.
Yeah, I know it's not very clear. At least that's my interpretation of it.
Just confused. I was just confused because they set it up as if she was infected, or that she was infected. Sorry, Luis says, like, I spent all, you know, my life studying this.
Yeah.
We know from the original remake that we got way more background on Luis, that he worked for Umbrella.
Yeah.
Which will tie into other points of confusion I have with specific bits of dialogue, but we'll get there. But, so we know that Luis is not like restricted. His knowledge is not restricted to Las Plagas. He worked on the Nemesis program. There's a picture of that in the original remake. So it's his character is much more fleshed out and expanded in the remake. So like, my first thought was like, all right, this is a cool setup because maybe in her time working for Wesker, she was implanted with something and didn't know it, and it's related and can be manipulated. This sounds like it could be cool. But apparently she was in some minuscule moment infected with Plagas and then, you know, barfs it out later on in the
game. And the reason, like, I mean, the way that you kind of put this together is anytime that thing shows up, Pisanta, anytime it shows up, that's when she starts having the hallucination.
I get the connection.
Yeah. and when she dies,
those two things together. Yeah.
Yeah. Or when he dies, that's when she spits it out. But I agree with you guys that it's very, I put that together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with you guys that it's definitely a little unclear.
I was just confused and wanted to make sure it wasn't just me.
Yeah, I mean it is strange, right? She just gets grazed on the arm a little bit, and she's infected with this totally different Plaga.
Yeah, I guess the purpose behind it was just for Luis to like help her out and her to like soften up a little bit.
Which is like fine. I think that setup was fine. It's just make it a little more obvious that she was infected, because a graze on the arm because of some, you know, biological needle is just kind of, it's kind of a weird, it's a weird jump to go to see that and then think, oh, she's infected now. So
yeah,
right, because in the main game they're literally injected with a plug-us.
Right.
Both Ashley and Leon, yeah.
And, like, there's no reason to think that that's the only way you can house a plaga, or get infected with a plaga, right? Like, surely there's other ways that that could happen, and we see that in this DLC. It's just not very... It wasn't very clear, and it definitely was a bit of a surprise, but not in, like, a good way, you know?
I guess that was their way of not making her so overpowered like they did in the original.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that, and I guess it just adds tension. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk.
I was just confused. That was all.
that's fair. That's fine. I don't blame you. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this were probably confused by that. I wouldn't be surprised. Let's talk about Wesker. Because I don't think we actually get a good look at Wesker in the remake of the game. I think we just see kind of his... I don't know if we see his face at in the ending sequence when he's talking about, you know, hundreds may die so that one may live. We're talking casualties in the billions. Like, he gives that whole speech at the end of the main game. I don't remember if we see the front of his face, but we see a lot more of him this time around. How... What did you guys feel about that?
We did see him a little bit towards the... I think it was like the post-credit scene that they showed.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I just couldn't remember. I know we see the back of him. I don't remember if we see the front of him.
I think we do. I remember seeing the front of him.
Okay, but this time we see a lot more and we hear a lot more from him. So
yeah, I mean, I thought it added more tension between him and Ada because like he treats her like shit, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Wesker's never really been on my short list of good people in the Resident Evil universe, so...
Yeah.
Jason, your thoughts? You seem very contemplative.
Well, it's just because it... Especially given the fact that Wesker... One time he comes in and saves Ada's life...
Yeah,
and another time he comes in to stop her from doing something that could have drastically altered effects. And given that, and the combination of he spends the entire game complaining about how incompetent Ada is, it just makes him look like a fucking idiot. Because he very clearly could just insert himself into the situation and
my
get
thoughts
things
exactly
done anytime he wanted.
Right.
So why the fuck is Ada doing this in the first place?
Or no, it's not. I think that question puts it on Ada. I think the bigger question is, why did Wesker feel the need to hire her when?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess realistically, I guess Ada is a lot more covert than Wesker is or would be. But he manages to sneak up on her, so it's kind of like it really is like, did you really have to hire her? Couldn't you have just handled this yourself? Especially you're right off the island on a yacht. Like, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Like we didn't get a lot of the, so Phyla, you posted in our chat. I think you saw a comment from a listener on Twitter talking about how, you know, we weren't huge fans of the voice performance of Ada in the original. And maybe this would like shed some light on maybe why she's this way. As opposed to the original game, where she's much more of a femme fatale archetype. And, you know, there's a much more energetic performance. And so that's kind of what I was hoping this would be. We would get more background. Why is Ada there? You know, relationship with Wesker. But really all we get is that, well, she works for Wesker. Wesker's an asshole. And she's pretty cynical about the whole thing. And that's pretty much it.
I mean, I I don't know that I expected to get, I mean, like, what more do we need to know why she's there other than Wesker hired her? And, like, I don't think that they necessarily need to have a deeper relationship than she's a covert spy and he needed someone to get in there and get the Amber. Go ahead, Jason.
I more just meant, like, motivation. Like, but I guess it's pretty straightforward. Like, the focus of it wasn't really to give us any more background. I do agree that they attempted to give her somewhat of an arc, but, like, I don't know. I just didn't really have any thoughts. And in terms of Wesker, or I, not that I didn't have thoughts, I didn't really, like, feel that attached or interested in Wesker. And I felt like outside of that last, and this is a problem I found with Ada too, outside of that last little, not speech, but line he delivers that was in the original remake, it's pretty flat in terms of the voice acting, pretty weird in terms of the writing of the lines, how, like, direct they are, especially. And this goes for both Wesker and Ada, especially when you juxtapose them with Louise, which we'll get to, who is written just as well and performed just as well as he was in the original remake.
Yeah.
It almost made me, like, and this was again a criticism I had of the original remake, was the Ada's delivery.
It was a criticism a lot of people.
And it's funny because my favorite cutscenes and performances from both Ada and Wesker in this one ended up being ones that were already in the original. So if that's the case, it's a pretty damning statement on the performances that were added for both of them in this DLC.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, we definitely get more than we did in the original DLC, right? The original Separate Ways. We get more interaction, like Wesker is not just talking through a comm, like we actually see them interact, like, in person, which I appreciate, but I do agree, like, not knowing Ada's, I don't want to know Ada's purpose, because I like that she's, like, this mysterious stealth character that you don't really ever know if she's going to be good or bad, and that's not really made completely clear, even though she made a good decision in the end. I still like that her character is still very gray and we can't peek into, like, what she wants and what she wants to get out of everything. I just like that mystery behind her. And it's always what I liked about that character. Like, you never really understand why she is the way she is. And maybe it's something that I would be interested in seeing, but I don't know if the DLC is a proper place for that. I'd like to see, like, an Ada Wong focused game for that of reveal. But in terms of the voice acting.
Sure.
Yeah. In terms of the voice acting, I do feel that her performance, she had certain lines that did give that femme fatale vibe, but then other lines, it almost felt like they were trying to give her Leon Kennedy quips, but without it feeling like something Ada would say. So, like, she would have different lines that she would say throughout the gameplay that just didn't fit her character, and it didn't sound right. It almost felt like they rushed the lines a little bit, and just for Ada specifically. For Wesker, it grew on me. Like, he's not as silly as he was in the, like, original, like, Resident Evil 1 game, which, like, I kind of miss. But at the same time, if they're remaking this in a different direction, his voice is menacing, and I can see that working. But I would like to see them give him a little bit of his silliness back. Because, like, Leon kept his silliness in the remake. Why can't Wesker?
I mean,
don't know.
No, go ahead.
I don't know if they're going to explore that in a DLC where you see him for, like, a few minutes, you know?
I mean, once again, what they really need to do is they need to do a remake of Code Veronica. I don't know why they haven't done that yet. I don't know why that apparently isn't on the cards. Code Veronica is where Wesker is reintroduced to the canon. Right now, he is here completely devoid of context in this modern remake, you know, series. Because Wesker doesn't appear in 2 or 3, and they haven't done a new remake of 1 to fit in with these newer remakes, and they have not done a remake of Code Veronica where he returns. He's just here because he has to be. He's the one that hires Ada, which is fine, but like, if what they do next isn't Code Veronica, there's new players new to the series that are going to have no fucking idea who he is.
Players who aren't new to the series that have no fucking idea because they never played Code Veronica.
Well,
and that's why they're not going to make a remake, because it's not a numbered game that sold bajillions.
Yeah, but the problem is, I don't care if it's numbered. It's a mainline title devoid of number. Like, it is a mainline Resident Evil game.
Dude, I'm simply explaining.
I know.
The corporate view why that isn't going to happen. Probably though, if anything, they would work it into other releases.
Yeah, but it wouldn't make sense to. It really wouldn't make sense to.
I know.
But yeah, that's my thoughts on, like, Wesker showing up in this and having a more prominent role, I think, is fine. And clearly, you know, we'll talk about what the setup is at the end there. Right. But it's just so strange to reintroduce the, and granted, Wesker's iconic, right? He is an iconic character. His appearance is pretty well known. You see a dude with slicked back blonde hair and sunglasses on at night, or regardless of time of day or room he's in, like, you know, that's Albert Wesker from Resident Evil.
Wasn't he in Marvel vs. Capcom also?
Probably. I would be shocked if he wasn't. He's iconic at this point. Mm-hmm. But still, it doesn't defeat the fact that in this modern remake series, which just consists of 2, 3, and 4, Wesker is now just here in this newer take on the canon, completely devoid of any context. And you know, if the idea is that they genuinely are not planning on redoing 1, and the 1 remake is the sole remake of that game that we'll get, which is fine. I have no problem with that. They need to put out some sort of thing saying, like, hey, if you don't know who this character is, go play this Resident Evil 1 remake from 2002.
Like a cutscene of the events of Resident Evil 1.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe because 5, Wesker's, it plays obviously a much more prominent role. Maybe there they'll make an effort to explain who the hell he is to newer players. But like I said, Capcom, remake Code Veronica, please. That, I mean, frankly, that game desperately needs a remake far more than any of the other games you've remade.
Yeah.
So please do that. Even though I know no one from Capcom is listening, just let's manifest it, guys.
Yeah. I feel like based on the ending of this game, they're going with a remake of 5.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end of the episode, where we think they're going now that this DLC's out.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw out my 2 cents about Wesker and the lack of Code Veronica. Let's talk about Luis. We got some more time with Luis, and I believe, if I remember correctly, we were kind of down on not having a lot of time with Luis in our regular Resident Evil 4 episode. How did we feel about getting more time with him?
Like you hinted at, I think our agreement, or we all agreed in our last episode on this remake, that when you put side by side the winners and the losers for the changes that they made to the original story, that Luis was probably one of, if not the biggest winner.
Yeah.
In terms of, they kept, you know, what was cool about him from the original, and they expanded on his character. And I mean, it's telling that Separate Ways remake opens with Luis dancing in a dungeon with a dead body.
Yeah.
And I do think it's kind of cool how story-wise they tried to make him and his expanded character for the remake almost like imply it's a source of inspiration for Ada Wong's own tiny little arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it doesn't they don't do a great job of fully getting it across, but like I can see what they're trying to do. I wish they would have leaned a little more hard into it and into that story and that arc. But
well,
it is
I
what
think,
it is.
I think part of the problem is they had to they couldn't change Resident Evil 4, right? So they had to work with what they had in terms of the presentation of Resident Evil 4. So they had to work with anytime Luis wasn't with Leon and work with those moments in particular, work with the dialogue that they already set out in that script, and write around that what could Ada be saying, going through, and doing with or without Luis surrounding the base game. And that, in a way, might have been like a constraint, a limitation to their detriment. Just because, like you said, Jason, like, you saw what they were doing with trying to make a take a parallel or have her take inspiration from Luis's good deeds and do some of her own. And that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier, the line that when they're heading to the island, Leon asks Ada, have you changed, Ada? And like she kind of brushes it off. But we kind of see a little bit of that in this DLC. It's just it's not the most. What's the word I'm looking for? Gracefully done. It kind of is a little sloppy adding that additional narrative.
And my rebuttal would just be that you don't necessarily have to have Luis in the room with her to do that either. Like, it could be expressed through her talking to herself in calm conversations she has with Wesker or Luis. And there are some good scenes, like when Luis rushes into the fire to desperately, you know, save the medical stuff that he was working on.
Yeah.
Because he sees that as, you know, his redemption. It's so important that he does that to help others, to make up for the bad he's done. So again, Luis is probably the winner, the best character of the remake.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like Ada, he's really good at manipulating people to get his goal. In this case, his goal was redemption. But he didn't present it that way to Ada. He kept, like, kind of playing her as a pawn, like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to get this. Initially, it was like, I'm going to get you the amber. But then it was like, oh, no, I'm going to cure you. Like, here's what I know. And I feel like Ada is also really good at that. I mean, even throughout the DLC, she was, like, referring to Leon as being a dog. And, like, he's predictable. And she knows that she's going to essentially get what she wants. So I feel like, in a way, it is kind of an effective way to, like, give Ada her own redemption without it being clear cut because of how she interacts with Luis. And I think that's more a reflection of Luis's character than Ada's, to be clear.
I also think it's really cool, similar to how you get the big revelation in original Separate Ways and here, that the person to ring the church bell was Ada at the beginning to send the Ganados away from Leon in the village. I think it's also kind of neat how they kind of did that again by, I mean, it's not as well done as the church bell. I'm definitely not putting it on the same level, but it's interesting to think that Ada is partly or largely responsible for Leon and Ashley getting their plaga suppressed so that they could make it through and eventually get it out. Because she gathered the ingredients for the suppressant. I think that's just it's a neat little detail, and it just adds a little more to her whole story here.
Yeah, sure.
I also do want to call out just like the way she talks about Leon, not just talking about him as a puppy, but like, you know, they have a really interesting relationship, and that's built on in this DLC quite a bit, and I really like it, and I really appreciate it. Yeah. It's like it's very clear that she does care for Leon, and the complications of their relationship are explored pretty nicely here. Yeah. Just some of the little, like, it's nothing obviously too deep. Ada's not that kind of character. She's not the kind to really open up about anything. It's just that the some of the one-liners she says, it's like you can tell what the intention is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a Batman-Catwoman kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Well, again, goes back to the delivery, because some of the lines are just badly written, but some of them, the writing isn't the problem. It's, I don't know if they told these voice, I have no frame of reference for these voice actors to compare it to. To my knowledge, the lady who voiced Ada Wong in this and the main, you know, remake, she played Ada Wong like in something else, like a TV show or something, right?
It was the Welcome to Raccoon City movie that came out 2 years ago.
Okay, I haven't seen that, so I have no frame of reference. It just sometimes feels like the director was like, say this in a monotone way, and in post-production we'll edit it and change the inflections, which you can do, and then nobody did it. It's just weird. Like,
I don't know.
Lines should have some sort of inflection, and they don't. I feel like, and I don't think it's necessarily the voice actor's action, because there are other times when they do have emotion, but it seems like completely out of place in the context of the scene. Like when talking about that same scene I just mentioned earlier, when she rescues Luis from the fire because he's trying to protect the medical stuff.
Yeah.
And she says, like, are you okay? But she says it as if she's like a mother talking to a child that, you know, just got hurt. Like, it's a weird, it's incongruous with the rest of her character and presentation. And then other times it's just monotone with no emotion, where you feel like there should be, like, there's a comment she makes early on in the game where she's like, she says, the smell of burning flesh. I thought I left that life behind, which A, kind of raises questions, but also B, like, you feel like if you're talking to yourself, you don't need to be that reserved. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could let loose a little more, even though you're a super secret agent. It's just, it's weird. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I don't know. I brought this up in our main episode, and I'll say it here again. I saw like an in defense of Ada's voice, like, kind of post on Twitter or something, saying that, like, she's clearly apathetic toward the work she does, and she's clearly not happy with the situation she's kind of put herself in. So, like, you could kind of use that to contextualize her voice as, like, legitimate boredom with what she's into, and kind of the end of the game where she, you know, we get the same ending here as we did in Separate Ways, in the base game, where she tells the pilot to change course after she finds out Wesker's plan with the Amber. It's like all everything leading up to that is just like she's kind of sick of it, and she's kind of bored with it, and she doesn't want to do it anymore. I still maintain, if you look at it that way, it makes it feel a little better. And I didn't think her performance in this was as, I mean, I didn't think it was bad before. I did think it was maybe it's the direction. Worst of the bunch.
It's definitely direction, because yeah. in this, what, outside of, like, the final that final monologue he has about, you know, saving or killing billions or whatever to save hundreds, casualties will be extreme, which was in the original game, as we mentioned. Wesker's lines are just as monotone and weird. He's just
like, yeah, but that's also because Wesker's like, Wesker's practically a fucking robot.
Like, but even compared to that final line that was in the original game, is what I'm saying.
Got it.
So it's weird. There was something. I don't think it was the voice actors. I think it was either something with direction or record. Something like, I don't know.
Maybe.
And especially considering Luis is like exactly how he was in the original, and it was fine. It was good. Like, I don't know what they were going for. Like, especially when you consider some of the one-liners that Ada Wong has are typical of what you might expect from a femme fatale, but they're delivered so flatly, it sounds weird.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the final cutscene, because that really was new. This is what happens after the results screen, where Wesker kind of doesn't care that Ada decided to betray him, and he doesn't care that the island didn't get completely blown up, because he already has what he needs, and what he needed was Krauser's body. So right. What'd you guys think of that? Huh?
That's all new, right? I don't remember
That's all new. That's completely new, yeah. Clear, obvious setup for what's to come in 5.
Yeah, and then they also played like the music. I didn't catch to it. I was like, this sounds familiar, but then I was looking at the internet and people were confirming that it's like RE5 music that was playing at that final cutscene.
Oh.
Yeah.
I might have to listen back to that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, Jason, what did you have any thoughts on this?
It just makes sense, a way to try to connect the dots, so to speak, for kind of this new canon or setting up. Not new, but like adjusted. I guess it is new canon, but it's like taking the old and trying to adjust it, make changes, modify.
Yeah, I'll have to remind myself on. It's funny, I've played 5 so many times, but I feel like the last time I actually paid attention to the plot was like a decade ago.
I just remember there's the weird doctor dude and lady, the busty lady, we'll just say.
Excella. Yeah. And you know, I even thought that Wesker's yacht looked a lot like...
It does, yes.
The yacht that the weird doctor dude had in 5, and I kind of thought that that's where they were going with that, but maybe not. I guess it remains to be seen. Any other plot things we want to talk about before we move on to some other topics?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier some points of confusion. So
you're
walking with Louise, and Louise asks you, "Who do you work for?" And I was like, "What?" Because, again, in this expanded lore now, we know Louise worked for Umbrella for a significant period of time.
Mm.
He worked on the Nemesis Project. And regardless of that, we know that he had some kind of deal going back to give the Amber to Wesker, and Wesker hired Ada to go do it. So how does Louise not know?
Well, I don't know
who she's working for.
I got the sense that he knew, but he just wanted her to say it, you know?
But then she says, "You don't want to know." And he's like, "Okay." I'm like,
I mean, I also don't does he necessarily know who she's working for? I don't necessarily know that.
He made the deal with Wesker to get him the Amber.
I mean, it could have been done through a middleman. It could have been done through Ada, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just
given
how much more extensive Luis's involvement with all the previous events is in the timeline now, as opposed to the original, it seems like he would know who Wesker was.
Well, yeah, look, he probably does know who Wesker is. That doesn't necessarily mean he knows that's who hired Ada to get the Amber.
That was just a point of confusion.
That's fine. Yeah. I just, like, you know, I don't know. I didn't question that line nearly as much as you did. I feel like it's probable that he didn't know that Wesker was the end client, you know, that Ada was hired as the middleman, or maybe someone else was the middleman in negotiating the deal. And Louise has absolutely no clue that Wesker is the benefactor at the end of the day.
It also probably comes from stems my looking into all these little details and lines. As I said earlier, I was hoping that they would flesh things out more than in the original, but much like the original, it's really just meant to be, you know, a nice six, well, the original was much shorter, but it's meant to be a 6-7 hour fun piece of add-on content.
It's about the same length, I'd say.
The original only took a couple hours. Well, it depends how you're playing, but
it was like 4 to 5. This is like 5 to 6. It's only a little longer, I think. Mm.
But yeah, I guess I was just looking for more than they were really trying to deliver.
Okay. Any other points of confusion or things you want to bring up about the plot?
For me, it's not a plot. It's just a character thing. I like how they brought back Luis's kind of misogyny in this DLC, whereas they strayed away from it a lot more in the remake. Because, like, in the original, he was a little, like, dirty towards Ashley.
Ballistics. Was now,
yes,
Oh, one of the best lines. Yeah.
It is funny, but it's also like, isn't she like a kid?
It's gross. Yeah. It's definitely gross.
Yeah. But
at the time, the age we were, we weren't really thinking about it.
Yeah.
No, sure. Of course not.
In the context that she's like a 16-year-old girl or however. No, she's in college.
She's in college.
Yeah, she's 18 or 19, whatever. Yeah.
But just like the whole game in itself is like way less horny than the original. And here, like, I mean, obviously it wasn't over the top like it was in the original, but I felt like they, like him and Ada having that like dancing moment in the beginning kind of like spoke to that part of his character a little bit more than we ever got in the original, which I thought was fun.
They had more fun with Luis, I feel, in this moment or in this DLC than they did in the base game.
Yeah.
I mean, they really succeeded in making Luis a very serious, sympathetic character compared to how he was in the original.
He's almost a central character because he's so tied to all of the different events. Yeah.
No, for sure. But here, like they definitely. You're right, Delilah. They made it much more serious. They didn't have as much fun with him in the base game, but now in this DLC, that whole opening sequence was so much fun.
Yeah.
Him doing flamenco dancing with a corpse, and then and then with Ada, it was a blast.
Yeah, for
it was
sure.
It was great to see and hear Luis again.
Yeah, yeah. Like without him, because like just to use that scene as an example, you have the flamenco dancing. It's a really fun. I was like, oh, this is an awesome way to open it.
Yeah.
And then obviously the reveal that the masked cultist was Ada, and she does some crazy backflips and kicks, takes out all the cultists, and then that flat delivery. Do you have the amber? In stark
it's not that
to
bad.
It is that bad.
There are definitely moments where it was pretty bad.
I mean, okay. I mean,
but
I'm
some
not...
of her lines hit. Some of them did. Yeah, some of them had that like smooth, sensual like Ada that I want. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also just some of the writing like that is very direct, whereas like human beings typically don't speak directly. There's a study. It's like 60-70% of what human beings say is like completely indirect. Like we have some aversion. I don't know. You can go look it up. But the point is that when you hear those her and Wesker just saying those direct lines over and over again, it just starts, and that mixed with the delivery, it starts to sound unnatural. And again, I was amazed to find that the cutscenes where I actually did somewhat appreciate and found some emotion were actually the ones that were in the main game. Like, so like it was bad enough to make me appreciate things that I criticized in our original view, our review of the game.
Wow. Okay then.
Not to harp on it, because we've been talking about the voice acting for a long time.
Oh, boy.
But I just wanted to know if you guys noticed, or if I was just bugging out, that there was a scene where Ada was like, oh, Luis, I can't say goodbye yet. And she seemed like kind of like tender a little bit in her own head. And then the next minute, you know, he's like saying like his last words and like expressing like his purpose and stuff in a nice and tender way. And she's just like, where's the amber or something like that? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just felt very jarring, like going from like, oh, you can't say goodbye yet, Luis, to like,
oh,
just,
I mean, I took the you can't say goodbye yet as you still have a job to do, motherfucker. Where's
that,
my amber? That's
that would make that, yeah, yeah. That's hits with me better.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like, obviously everybody knows the rule in writing, show don't tell, but there does come a point where you need to, like, in a situation like this where you're mainly following this character alone, you need a little more inner monologue. And we do get some of that in the opening where she reflects a little bit on Raccoon City, and you kind of get that cynicism from her and her analysis. We needed more like reflective moments like that, maybe in between the chapters with each chapter opening, to kind of get a better sense of her progression.
I mean, that, you know, that's what we got in the original too, was that in between every chapter, we'd get an Ada's report, which was her talking about where she's at with the mission, give some background information and so on and so forth. I feel like we do lose a little bit by not having that here.
But she was also much more expressive and vibrant and emotional.
Yeah, I think I said this in our Resident Evil 4 primary Resident Evil 4 episode too. But like this definitely is like the worst iteration of Ada we've had. I don't think it's like too bad, but it is definitely the worst that we've gotten, because 8 has been portrayed, I think, by at least 3 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe 4. I'm not 100% sure if Resident Evil 6's Ada was the same voice actor as original 4, but yeah, I it's definitely the worst iteration of her, but I don't think it's bad by any means. Yeah. But I hear what you guys are saying. I hear where you're coming from, and to an extent, I agree. Yeah. Okay, we're ready to move on to other things.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, Delia. Did you have something else that you wanted to add? Okay.
But the voice? No, I'm just kidding.
Damn it!
It's not just. I want to be clear. It's not just the voice. There's also like just the way the dialogue is written. The new dialogue is written, and how like I just mentioned, it's very direct in an unnatural way. Not very conversational.
You definitely come down on this being more on the writers and the directors than you do on her.
Is the impression I
get from you.
Like I said, there are moments where I can hear like decent deliveries and emotion being put in. It's just when that happens, it feels out of place.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm harping on it, because I actually did enjoy my time with this. It's just this is like the one big criticism I have, is mostly just the story elements and those performances, yeah.
Okay.
And not just her, also Wesker.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think even though there's some added story stuff, and I'm not sure that it lands 100% of the time, I do still think it's better than the original approach, which was just show things we already know but from Ada's perspective, and it's just kind of a remix of the original game.
Sure.
With some new environments and stuff.
I agree that what they were going for in theory is all it was a good idea. It's just the execution, yeah.
Yeah. On the topic of, you know, comparing this DLC to the original bonus mode in the original Resident Evil 4, it's not as much of a one-to-one remake as Resident Evil 4 remake was to the original Resident Evil 4. They actually took a lot of the things that were cut from Leon's story and recycled them for Ada's.
Yeah, like the gondola section.
The gondola section, the El Gigante boss toward the end of the village.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, there's more.
I think the laser room.
The laser room, yes, the laser room. There were U3 or it, you know, whatever you want to call it. That's Passanta. They kind of confirmed that U3 was the other servant of Salazar, and kind of redo that. But they don't do the whole thing with the shipping containers falling and stuff, where you have to navigate the labyrinth of the shipping containers before they fall and you're trying to shake them off and stuff. They don't do that, but you can see those up suspended in the background of the boss fight, which I think is like, okay, at least you're acknowledging where this boss fight's kind of coming from. But what did you guys think of kind of them taking those bits that were cut and using them here?
I thought it was fun. I thought it made it feel like you're not just, cause we got a lot of the same weapons, right? And aside from her grappling hook and her, yeah, really, that's it. There's not much different. You're still shooting with the same weapons. So I think having those different sections was not only a nice homage to the original game, to people who remember that, but also a way to shake up the gameplay a little bit so that it didn't feel like, oh, I'm just going through this area as Ada now.
Yeah.
Riveting commentary as always, Jason. Thank you very much.
I mean, I hate that it sounds like I hate this, because I actually very much enjoyed my time with this DLC, and a lot of that just has to do because the base game was so good. And I felt the same way here. I even felt like in some ways the design, not the design, it's hard to say, like specifically, like I remember the regenerators, I was criticizing the changes they made, how they made them faster, and put a bunch of them in the original remake. I didn't like the way they did that. Here, they spread them out more. They were a little easier to deal with, take out the things. Gameplay-wise, like I felt like I had a great time. It's a great base game. fun to play here. And this, you mentioned those set pieces they pulled out from the original and put in here. I felt like it was well paced out.
Yeah.
I felt like they really added to break up, so it didn't, like Delilah said, didn't just feel like you were replaying same sections from the original game, just as Ada.
Which I do think that was part of a problem with at least the first half of Separate Ways, the original Separate Ways. Toward the latter half, you start getting new environments, new set pieces and stuff, and it felt like a more... it felt like a more new thing, but the first half of the original was kind of just Ada going through some very similar areas, doing very similar things. And this was a very good way to use the things that they didn't use in the base game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really satisfied. I was really happy with it. Like I wasn't one to like harp on any of the things that they cut from the base game.
Same.
I didn't think anything was missing was like really, really missed. But man, just what a way to use them. And I think they really, really nailed it.
Yeah.
With Separate Ways. My one complaint, I guess, from a pacing perspective is just that it's like, this is very, it, I mean, it's very clearly a bonus mode. It's very clearly a DLC. And like for Ada, I feel like some chapters just feel super disjointed, where she'll go one way, a cutscene will happen, and then you're back in a different place, and you go a little bit, and like it doesn't feel as cohesive as when the base
not
game.
At all. Yeah.
Because it's you're following a side character who's doing her own thing and kind of jumping through and in and out of the story at times. It's not so much of a complaint. It makes sense, but it is a little jarring when playing this. I also locked myself out of a few treasures, and I missed a merchant request on my first run.
Oh, you knew.
Because you have no warning. Like, I don't even think the merchant tells you, like, if you go, there's no turning back. Like they did in the, you know, the base game.
Yeah.
So like,
he does. I had it happen to me, but it happened in like chapter 5. But it was like, it made it seem, it was the same thing he says to Leon in the main game, like the last time you see him. Mm. So I'm like, wait a minute, I thought there was two more chapters.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It was weird, but I do agree that like the because it's like condensing the progression system. So like it can feel weird when you're going through a pretty linear section, then you spend a bunch of time in what is essentially a condensed version with all the treasure hunting and the economy of the original. But again, it's all like shortened and condensed.
I feel like I would have been less annoyed by it if they just didn't have the treasures in the game and just let me like just find ammo naturally. No currency system. Don't even bother with that. Leave that for the base game and just have me play as Ada and that's it. Because I was very upset when I missed treasures and stuff like that going through, and I had no warning, like, oh, okay, I'm about to go to a new section, because it would, like you said, it was marked, it was cut up by cutscenes.
Yeah, there were just lots of points of no return, and, like, they did a lot of artificial blocking, you know, they had lots of debris and whatever, just blocking a hallway, because they don't want you to go down there.
Ada totally has a grappling hook, she could.
Right, right. I also was a little disappointed in the chapter where you have to get the three ingredients for Luis. They kind of set it up like it's a free for all. You can do them in any order, but it's not. It's entirely linear, and you have to get them in a specific order.
Hmm.
I kind of thought that would have been like a neat way for them to do experimentation's at the right word, because they've done non-linear exploration in Resident Evil before, even in these remakes. But like Resident Evil 4 is not really like that. Resident Evil 4 is a very linear game, so it could have been neat to add in a little bit of non-linearity into this DLC. But you know, they didn't do it. It's not the end of the world. It's just a small thing that I was a little bummed by.
Another thing I liked is that when you're exploring the same areas that you did as Leon and Ashley, you can see the aftermath of what Leon did, right? And yeah, I thought that was a really nice touch, because like I was like, oh,
elements,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps, like, kind of contextualize, like, where Ada is right now, where's Leon, you know, it helps kind of give that perspective. And, like, all the conversations she has with Leon, like, they're done pretty organically as you're going through these chapters, because you obviously have, now that you're playing as Ada, you have to see the other side of those. So that was definitely cool. All the perspective stuff was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot new. I don't remember if it was Jason or Delilah. One of you brought up that the grapple gun is like one of the only new things. There's also the blast crossbow or the bow gun, as it was in the original Separate Ways, which I really enjoyed as a weapon. I'm glad they retained that.
Yeah, and it did it for the arena where you fight. I think it's only once you fight one of these. What they're called, the blind guys with the
Garador.
Garadors, thank you. I was looking all over the arena for a gong, and then I realized, oh yeah, they want me to use the crossbow, which I was trying to save all my crossbow bolts, but okay.
Yeah. Hey, you can craft them, just use your boot knives.
You can also use materials, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I was playing, I was like playing it as if it was the main game very conservatively, and I found certain sections, I ended up having hundreds of fucking submachine gun bullets and handgun bullets and shotgun shells.
Well, and that's when you gotta
long stretches without, yeah. And then sometimes, like towards the end, I found I had like nothing at all. It was weird. It's almost like the first few chapters, there's very little fighting, and you're building up all these resources, and then at the end, they just throw hordes at you.
I think you had a similar comment about the base game too, if I remember correctly. Talking about the ammo economy. I want to say that was about base Resident Evil 4 remake.
Maybe. It might have been 3. It might have been Nemesis.
All of them are normal mode or like that, but if you play hardcore, it's way more professional. Survival-y. Yeah.
Yeah. I did think that the... Oh, sorry, Delilah, did you want to say something?
No, just to respond to what you mentioned about the changes, there was also a lot more opportunity for stealth, whereas they introduced stealth in the original RE4, and you barely needed to use it, maybe like once or twice. Whereas here, I felt like I had a, you know, and it made sense because she's like covert, like spy kind of person. So
yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I found it had so much ammo is because I was doing so many more sneaking stealth kills with the knife, and the knife is much more durable off the bat.
Yeah. See, I was having a blast. I wasn't doing much stealth. I was still shooting dudes, but I would shoot them in the legs to stumble them, and then I'd use a grapple gun melee to kick them and anyone around them. I really liked the grapple gun melee. I thought that was a good addition.
Excellent. Because you don't have to get up close to them like you did with Leon to get that kick in. You can just like do it from afar.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the sound of the grapple was just like Batman.
Yeah.
just like Arkham.
It also added a layer of depth to positioning yourself to do it. If you have a bunch of enemies, you could target one in the thick of the pack, get them down. And if you execute it properly, I mean, there's the risk that you could get hit while you're trying to do it. But if you execute it properly, as you swing through towards them, you'll hit all the other ones, knock them down, and then kick everybody around them. So there's actual added gameplay depth with that. It's not just a cool little thing.
Yeah. There's an in-game challenge for that, too, where you have to, I think, kick 3 enemies with a single grapple kick.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So, on the topic of the grapple hook, I kind of wish there was another fight that was like this, but the El Gigante fight was so cool.
Yes, I love that.
Because you got to zip around to different rooftops, and like he would come over to destroy a building, and you could escape onto another one using the grapple. I thought that was so neat, and also her whereas Leon would usually have like QTEs to just like stab someone in the eye or jump on the back to slash at the Gigante's the plaga coming out of its back. Like Ada had much more stylish animations with the grapple hook swinging around, doing like swing by slashes and stuff. It was just really cool, really stylish, and I was happy to see stuff like that.
Yeah, the only criticism that I would really have of the grapple is that I when I was fighting other bosses, I wish they had, after going through that fight that you just described, I wish they had used it more to traverse other boss arenas. Or to give you the option to
draw. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wish there were, I wish there was at least one other boss fight that allowed for more freedom like that. There could have been a decent opportunity to do it with Sadler, but they kind of changed. Yeah, they kind of changed his arena from the original, so it's a lot more closed off, single level. You know.
And the U3 fight, because it's really just those two circular areas. Like, mm-hmm. if you could hop over him to get behind him rather than having to run past him.
Yeah. There was, like, a cool... I discovered this by accident. There was a dodge you could do on Sadler. There was, like, an attack where he would, like, swing his arms like drills and, like, come straight at you. And if you were in the center lane, you would get a prompt to dodge it. And she would, like, kind of grapple over him and jump over him. It was pretty neat.
I wish I would have allowed him to do that. I just hid behind a pillar. I was just gonna say, I wish they would have allowed you to grapple over him, but they did. I just didn't do it.
Yeah, it's only with one specific attack, and you kind of have to be on the opposite side of the arena to get him to do it. So
I did one other gameplay change. Maybe it was just me. I felt a lot squishier. Like, you took each, no matter what attack it was, did more damage.
I think
only take two or three hits.
That was probably by design.
I thought it was a good thing because I was exploring more things that I didn't really explore, but were in the, like, parrying. Mm-hmm. I didn't really do much, even though it was a much longer game, as opposed to here, where you're getting knives all the time. Your main knife and your boot knives are way more durable by default. So it made me interact with those mechanics they added, which I thought was neat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they did a similar thing, I think, in the original Resident Evil 1 with, like, Jill, her damage input versus Chris's.
Yeah, Jill was weaker. She was weaker at attacking and had less health, but she had more inventory slots, and Chris was the opposite. Less inventory, but more health, more damage. So, is there anything else you guys want to talk about, or are we good to move on to the final question?
Yeah, no, gameplay, still love it, just like I did with the remake. I feel bad because we spent so much time shitting on the writing and voice acting, but it's really, like, the only criticism I have is just that stuff. Like, the game is, it's still Resident Evil 4 remake. It feels awesome to play. Yeah. I had a great time.
I absolutely loved that Agnato took Leon's jacket.
Oh, it was, yes. That was the same way or the same thing in the original too.
It was like that in the original. Okay. In the original game or the original, like, the base game?
The original Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
And I don't remember where you find that Ganado. There is a point where you can find him. I can't, like, remember where it is.
I like how they turned it into
a treasure.
The same, you can find, I think it's Krauser's cap. Yes, on one of them later in the final chapter.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of fucked up that the merchant asks you to sell him Leon's jacket, but he never gives it back to Leon.
That's a nice jacket, too. The jacket that was inspired from is like $1,000.
I have it, you know, it's funny. I have it bookmarked under my wish list tab in my browser. Because it is a nice jacket. I look at it and I'm like, man, one day I can afford this $1,500 jacket.
Me too. It wouldn't even look good on me because, like, I'm a girl and it's just so, like, blocky, but I still want to wear it because it's just so nice.
Yeah. It is a very nice jacket. All right. The final question, it's kind of a rehash of our Resident Evil 4 remake base game question. But now that we have a little more information, I still want to hear your guys' thoughts, see if they've been updated at all. What's the next game? Where does the series go? Do we see Resident Evil 5 remake? Do we see Resident Evil 9 next? Do you think we're actually going to get a Resident Evil 1 or Code Veronica remake? What do you guys think?
I honestly think they're going to Resident Evil 5 next. I feel like all the breadcrumbs are there.
Okay. It's not even the matter of breadcrumbs, just looking at it as this is a big company. Resident Evil 5 sold a lot, and even if the hardcore fans don't appreciate it as much or or really only like it for the cheese. It sold a lot, so they're going to do it because it's safe to invest the money for get pretty much guaranteed returns. And they've been building what is become over the course of these remakes a really good gameplay sandbox, as we just talked about. They've done a really good job of taking elements, disparate elements from all the different games and putting them together. I wish, and I'll say the same thing I said last time for the main four video. My hope, you make Ashley the main character. Leon can also be a playable character, but become more of a mentor and move on with the story. But they're not going to. They're going to keep making remakes because they're safe. Or they'll eventually move on, but.
Oh, they're gonna. I mean, I think the next game is 9. I think they're gonna set a precedent, and a cadence to do a remake and then a new game and then a remake and then a new game. Even though they kind of haven't the pattern so far. We got 2 and then 3 and then Village and then 4. I think that following Village and then 4, it's going to go back to they're going to do a new one and then they'll do 5.
I'm just hoping that 9 utilizes what they built here.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to the first person. It was nice as like a little break.
Well, the DLC for Village was third person instead of first, so.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying is I hope they take everything that they built and iterated on with these remakes into 9 and go back to the original cast. I think the Ethan Winters stuff was a nice respite for where the series was at the time that 7 came out, but it's time to get back to the characters people love.
I mean, they kind of did, Jason. We got Resident Evil Death Island recently, a movie I still have yet to watch.
I didn't even know it existed.
Hold on, I think I have it here. Yeah, I do. It's right here. Resident Evil Death Island,
wow.
Starring Leon, Chris, and Jill.
Wow.
I think I want to say Rebecca's in it too.
Oh, Rebecca.
Again, as I said, I'm hoping 9. I really, really, really am pulling that somebody has the idea to make Ashley the protagonist, and then you also keep in Leon and Claire. I think it's safe to say of the original cast, Leon and Claire are like the favorites. When you compare it to like Jill and Chris from 1, I think people tend to like Leon and Claire better.
I mean,
Jill's
think
a fan favorite, no?
Yeah, but I think Leon is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there.
True,
definitely
and,
Leon.
And I think Claire hasn't gotten as much time. Again, I haven't played like all the Revelations stuff.
Yeah, she's a lead in Revelations 2, which I never beat. But one last final question: if they do remake 5, which at this point it's inevitable, like Delilah said, that the breadcrumbs are there, they're headed towards it. Is it gonna have co-op?
Definitely. I mean, the way they set up Luis's character in 4 Remake made it seem like that could be implemented, like, seamlessly.
I mean, they'd be missing out on a major opportunity if they didn't have the co-op, especially with how online gaming was like a big thing when 5 originally came out.
Oh yeah, that was the age of Xbox Live.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I guess at this point, Capcom had like I don't think Capcom was really in that area or had a lot of that expertise yet. At this point, it's kind of ubiquitous. So
yeah.
Streamers doing co-op sessions together, like that's a no-brainer if they do a 5 remake. Yeah.
Okay. I just hope they find a way to keep it scary, because 5 is very like action-y, Gears of War kind of feel.
I'm more curious what they do with Shiva and how they integrate.
Sheva, sorry.
I always said Shiva.
Yeah.
For the obvious reasons.
The Final Fantasy in your brain is taking over.
But I'm hoping they do as good. I mean, if we're being honest, there's not much of a character to fuck up there from the original.
All right, but, yeah, okay.
But I'm hoping they do the same sort of thing they did with Louise here with her, if they are doing, I mean, when they do a 5 remake.
No.
Integrate her more into the story, make her more of a character, connected to everything.
Yeah, totally. For sure. All right, Jason, what's the Kwasniki rating?
Solid 7. Mostly just takes the points for... Honestly, I set myself up for my disappointment with the story elements just because I guess I was expecting them to do a little more, but they really just did what the original did, but a little more expanded with a bit of an arc. So, I mean, but the game is still the game. I'm mostly taking points off just for the story stuff because that's really what's being added, but you get more Resident Evil 4 Remake, and it's still really fun, and there's some added mechanics.
Yeah, can't complain too much, right?
And keep in mind, 5 is average, 7 is great.
Yeah, okay. I do find it, I saw this discourse a little bit on Twitter the other day. I do think it's interesting to see that this DLC was $10 and was just as long as Resident Evil 3 Remake was, which was a full price game.
Yeah, I mean, true.
Yeah, I mean, granted, Resident Evil 3 Remake also shipped with Resistance, but nobody talks about that. No one cares about that, right?
Yeah.
So, just like, you know, food for thought. It's like interesting.
Homer Simpson meme going into the hedge. Yeah.
I do think for $10, the value proposition for this deal, and I also saw, I've been seeing people complain like, "Oh, it should be free. It was part of the original game." Like, no, it wasn't, because the original game didn't have it.
To be fair. Because I bought the deluxe edition.
Yeah.
And this is now bundled in, I think, with the deluxe edition. If you bought the deluxe edition now.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I think that's the complaint. Because I actually thought, because I had bought the deluxe edition originally, that I would get this for free. But that obviously wasn't the case.
Oh, but if you buy the deluxe edition now, it's part of it. And it doesn't cost extra?
I think so. I might be wrong about that. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, because that definitely sounds a little sketch. But still, $10, like $10, and you basically get enough content for an entire standalone game.
The price, I mean, for a single playthrough alone, if you're playing it actually, you know, doing treasure hunt, all the normal things you did in the original, you're going to get like 7-8 hours. It's almost $1 an hour.
I mean, hey, I don't know about you guys. I already played through it 3 times.
Exactly. There's also the replay value of it. It has the same new game plus stuff.
Yeah, and it's loaded with the in-game challenges, which unlock things for you or give you points so you can get, like, you know, the models, concept art, shit like that. Like, there's a lot of replayability, as there should be with any Resident Evil game. So,
I don't feel like you really need to sell this. Like, everybody loves 4 Remake. Almost everybody. Most people loved 4 Remake. Yeah, we love 4 Remake.
Yeah.
If you liked 4 Remake, this is fucking more 4 Remake with more bosses and more cool things put in from the original.
Right.
It may not have as cool characters or performances, but honestly, it's not that big of a deal because it's not a huge focus of it.
So people complain about everything on Twitter.
That's true. It's true. Delilah, what you working on? Anything you want to plug?
I just like do YouTube now sometimes. I think I started doing like, I did boss videos of Armor Core, and then I did like my ending reaction to this DLC, and then I'm doing probably Liza P bosses, although part of me is leaning towards just doing that off camera because it's fall and I'm feeling lazy. Like, I just want to be in my PJs and not have a camera in front of me.
Gotcha.
I feel you. It's October. I'm starting to eat candy. I generally don't eat candy, but I'm eating lots of candy.
Bro.
Man.
It's on all the store shelves.
I'll have the listeners know that at the time of this recording, it is still late September. Jason's already dipping into Halloween candy.
It's all on the shelves, man. And I'm in there every day getting shit from my
Wait, what kind of candy?
What do you think? Reese's, dude.
Yeah, okay. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is good. Halloween candy.
Hell yeah.
It's the only kind of candy.
It's not the only kind, but it is the best kind. I agree.
Reese's Pieces, I'll give it to us also.
All right, I'm not even going to, you know, we're on Twitter. Find us if you really want us. I'm not going to plug Twitter. I'm hardly on there anymore. And Fuck that place. If you like this episode and you're listening on YouTube, thank you very much. Please be sure to give us a like, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment, tell us what you thought about Ada's voice. If you want to, like, you know, leave 15 minutes of prose about it, like, please feel free. And, you know, make sure you share the show with whoever you think might be interested in listening to it. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, thank you so much. Please rate and review the show, 5 stars preferred. And make sure, yeah, make sure you leave that review. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. And share the show again. Anyone that you think would like it with your pets. I love how I start off with pets now.
Pets are more important than anything.
With your friends, your family, your pets, maybe not your kids because we curse a lot. Just anyone you think would be interested. It really, really helps us out. And thank you so much to the people that have been reaching out to Delilah. Thank you so much to the people that have been commenting and giving us feedback, telling us, you know, that you love the show. Anyone that's left a review, I cannot tell you how much it means to me and the rest of us and how much it helps us. So thank you. And continue to do the good deed. Delilah, what's our next episode again?
Space.
Yeah, we're talking about Dead Space. That's still on the docket. It's just this came out and we wanted to talk about it. So
the remake, just to be clear, but I'm assuming it's
the same. Yeah. Basic gist. I actually just finished playing through the original for the first time, so that's done. And now I have to go through the remake. So yeah,
fantastic.
That's what I hear. The Dead Space episode will mostly be revolving around the remake. So go play that, prepare for the next episode, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. You guys aren't gonna say your goodbyes?
I was waiting for Delilah to say something. Bye.